Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We are having a Sankirtan festival. Sankirtan means Bahube Milivayat Kirtanam Iti Sankirtanam, when many come together to glorify Krishna, that is called Sankirtan. And we chant on beads, japa. That's chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Which can have many meanings. Srila Prabhupada taught us the most basic meaning, which we can imbibe from the very beginning of our journey in Krishna consciousness. Oh, Krishna, O energy of Krishna, please engage me in your service. And when you get up there and you're dancing with the gopis, it's the same prayer. It's the same prayer all the way through. Of course, not only dancing with the gopis, we just, Parashuram is there lopping off the heads of the rascal kshatriyas, and then Ramachandra's throwing the heads of Ravana here and there. It's all around. It's an all, Prabhupada often said this is an all-round movement. So if you have aspirations to be nasty, you can be nasty in Krishna consciousness also. Not so much recommended for this age. But we see that there's that painting by Jadurani of Nrsimhadev killing Hiranyakashipu. And she related that she brought that to Prabhupada two or three times. Each time Prabhupada said, more blood, more blood. And that's a very popular picture on the internet with all these cycle gangs. What do they call them? Motorcycle gangs and all the other. They really relate to that. So there's something for everyone. Some people get really turned on by that. I remember that picture, that huge picture was put in the temple room in Bhaktivedanta Manor, and Mukunda Maharaj was, people are going to come in and see that, what are they going to think? That was also the subject of a court case in Massachusetts, I think it was, this way back maybe in the 1980s. And the prosecutor, what do you call them? The prosecution lawyer? Prosecutor. He was making a case. Look, this is the God they worship. This is what they call God. And then Niranjan Maharaj told me, and I think, what are you going to say in defense of this? But the judge himself said that this court is not sitting here to judge on anyone's religion throughout the case. So it's all around. We're all individuals serving Krishna or making our first steps towards serving Krishna. And Sankirtan also means to go out and glorify Krishna in such a way that we want to bring others to glorify Krishna. We pray for the service of Krishna. And together we do also chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So then we're singing together. So we're praying together. It becomes a joint prayer that we're praying to together to serve Krishna, that we're offering ourselves as a group in Krishna's service. It's a prayer for collective service. So Sankirtan movement means there has to be cooperation for it to work. Otherwise, it doesn't work. the symbol, the ideal of the American man. Of course, now things have changed. But the ideal of the American man, the rugged individual, the Marlboro man, riding off. But I thought the Marlboro man, how rugged an individual is he? He didn't raise the horse. He didn't make the saddle. He didn't make the shoes. He didn't make the fags, cigarettes. They call them fags in England, right? So he needs so much cooperation to make a show of rugged individuality. So it's cooperation to serve Krishna. Competition is also there. Srila Prabhupada said, even in the spiritual world, there's competition. There are different parties of gopis who are in competition, but the competition there is to please Krishna, not to show who can be the best imitation of Krishna. In this material world, we're trying to enjoy, to become the enjoyers. And going out on book distribution, for many, it can be very difficult. 2 days ago when I mentioned Medhavi Prabhu, how for months and months he was going out every day. It was very difficult for him. But he kept on going. As Adi Kazi Prabhu was saying this morning, that we want to see book distributors, and it may not be every. On the one hand, started by saying that you should all do at least for 10 years, and so we have to have farms. It reminded me a bit of Prabhupada. He would say, yes, Gurukul is our most important project. Preaching to scientists is the most important. He said, everything is most important, because everything is most important in comparison to everything that's going on in this material world. We need everything now. I was talking to Shivaram Maharaj once about making farms, and he said that well, you need everything all at once, because it's a whole social unit. You need everything all at once, but you have to build up. That's just the way it is. You have to build up slowly and gradually. But one of the things Adi Kaja Prabhu is saying is, if you can be a lifelong book distributor, or at least do for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. And that's one of the reasons for this festival, all the devotees are coming. And the younger devotees can take inspiration that, yeah, it's possible, I can do it too. Sometimes devotees get taken out of book distribution to do other services. In London, Yogesh Chandra, he was there a lot with us, right? And you were very close to him. And later on, he was in India trying to get the book distribution stocked up in Mayapur. But that really happened when Hari Kesh Maharaj came in. He really got the book distribution going in Mayapur. It's been going fantastically ever since. Mayapur, no one can come anywhere near to them in the book distribution scores. Of course, they take all the Namhadas all over Bengal and put their scores in also. But those Namhadas built up because they did the work of going out there, and then they bring people back to Mayapur. It works as a whole unit. The Mayapur book distribution party, then they have Namhata preachers, they bring people back to Mayapur. It's very impressive. So to have big centers like this is also very impressive when you go out to preach, and then you can bring people back to a center, and people, oh yeah, that's, people take it seriously if they see something impressive like this. So just to see that devotees, they're doing it, and they've been doing it for years and years and years, and they they take pleasure in that, and they keep on doing that throughout their life. This morning, Adi Karapapu, you spoke on this verse about distributing the fruits of love of God here and there to everyone. Jaha taha. To everyone. I was thinking about that. What does that mean, the fruits of love of Godhead? Well, distribute the fruits of love of Godhead. Nigama kalpataro galitam palam. The prema phal, the fruit of love of Godhead, is, what do we have? The fruit of the desire tree of the Vedic literature is the Srimad Bhagavatam. So literally, how can you distribute love of God? That's a commonly asked. How, if something which, if you're not on the level of prema, how can you do that? Well, you can distribute Srimad Bhagavatam. It's the fully ripe fruit of the tree of Vedic knowledge, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu found in that Krishna prema, and he distributed it. He wanted his whole discussion. And what changed the mind of the Mayavadis? That we find in Varanasi, the discussion with the Mayavadis, that they got convinced by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's discussion of Vedanta, and they found, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that the whole Vedanta philosophy, Sar Vedanta Saram Hi, all the essence of the Vedanta, that's there in Bhagavatam. And he got them to read Bhagavatam. So that's it, if we can distribute Bhagavatam. All the books are Bhagavatam. But the full, whole thing with Srila Prabhupada's commentaries, which is the distilled essence of all the previous Acharya's commentaries, and it's amazing and pleasing to see these books being distributed on the streets of America. That was unimaginable. I said in the previous talk also I gave 2 days ago that I was with Adi Karta Prabhu in the summer of, when was that, 76 or 7. We were going in Oxford Street distributing the abridged Bhagavad Gita. Then we went to Northern Ireland. And he was always ahead of me, quite a bit. I'd do about 20 Gitas a day, and you would do more like 30 every day. And that was, we were the crack two who could do, because no one was doing it. You said that no one's distributing big books, let's do it. So you and me, we were together one summer, but it almost looks ridiculous now. Of course, it's not ridiculous, but compared to what they're doing, it's simply amazing. The energy of the spiritual world is increasing. So yesterday I met Adi Karapapu for the first time after quite a few years on the Sankirtan, the Harinam Sankirtan, and then Abhimanyu Sutta sold a Bhagavatam set, and then right in front of us, who was that? Who did the... Bhaktavatar from Kansas. Yeah, he sold a Sapta Rishi set. It's like showing to Adi Karta Prabhu. And afterwards I thought, it's like in India, it's very common, you see people, they show their children, you see, here's my son, he's a doctor in America. And this is like showing off your kids. So I thought, Adi Karta Prabhu beat me every day, but hey, look at my kids. Got you at last. It took me a whole lifetime. It took me a whole lifetime, but yeah. Well, come on. I'm sticking a poker in him, right? You know, he was saying with Pragosh is a competition then. That Prabhupada stoked the fire of competition. That that was definitely a major motive for getting us going. We wanted to show Prabhupada also. He said he really pushed his disciples. He said, "What's the use of you being American if you in India?" He said, "What's the use of you being Americans if you can't do anything wonderful for Krishna?" And he pushed them to build that temple. He said, "I want you to build this temple. I want to do more than my godbrothers." He said outright, "I want to show I'm more than my godbrothers." He showed outright what to do. So it's competition, and same time shouldn't be done in such a way like the top distributor. You drive to this spot and then you accidentally lock him in the car all day. Shouldn't do things like that. Well, we do read in the that Servant of the Servant book where devotees in Florida, they challenged that we can cook more prasad than your Radha Damodar people can eat. So we're going to have a book distribution marathon, but first of all, we're going to see who can defeat who in prasadam. And then, okay, you cook as much as you like, and we'll eat it all. And the Florida devotees won, and they won the book distribution that day also. So competition is good, but we should remember that we're competing to please Krishna. Otherwise, we lose track. The devotees are all very blissful. Why is that? You're getting the mercy of Krishna, right? Krishna conscious. Krishna consciousness makes us happy. If you see the photos of the early Bhakta Godheads from about 1969, like that, see the photos, it's just amazing how happy the devotees look. It's and looking at that, you think, well, hey, we want to be like that, right? What happened in the meantime? There's so innocent happiness with the faith that, yeah, this is it. This is what we got. This is Krishna consciousness. We're Prabhupada and we're chanting Hare Krishna. We're saving the world. Going out on Harinam, Sankirtan. So Adi Kata Prabhu also was saying this morning, in the beginning you get the rush of bliss from being relieved from Maya, but then Maya doesn't let us go that easily. But we see that devotees were so happy, they're so innocent actually. And in the meantime, so many things have happened. Times have changed. Inevitably, problems come when we try to spread Krishna consciousness. When we try to do anything in this world, it's a world of problems. Maybe, I don't know, 15 or 20 years ago in London, Bhaktivedanta Manor, I was at an initiation ceremony, and Kripa Moy Prabhu, you don't know him, he gave an introductory talk, and he said, this is the biggest initiation ceremony, I guess that's since Bhagavan's time it must have been. And he said that everyone here is taking initiation, and maybe it wasn't as long as 20 years ago. They know what they're doing. Because nowadays, people don't do things, they don't make major decisions in their life, especially the kind of people who are getting initiated. These are all mostly children of Gujarati immigrants who are all well-educated, well-to-do, sober, intelligent people. And he said that they all know what they're getting into. They've all looked it up. They've seen the history of ISKCON. And still they're coming forward for initiation because they can see that what the history is not good, a lot of it, but still they can see that what is going on is good and they want to be part of it. And this is how they want to dedicate their life, despite all the problems. I've been thinking recently about the Catholic Church. They go through every so often real bad times, and that it was so bad that they lost half of Europe at one time. At one time they formed the Catholic Church when the Eastern Church separated from the Western Church, and then there was the Protestant Reformation. And then recently they had real scandals with child abuse, and they really lost a lot of ground. They lost Ireland, completely Catholic country for centuries. They lost it, and they lost so many. But they're still going on. People are still going to them because they find something there. Of course, we, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we do have something more substantial. I'm a refugee from the Catholic Church, even before they had their recent scandals. But we really have something to offer, and we have bad history and bad goings on up to the present day, and it will probably continue like that. There'll be good things going on and bad things going on, but we have to see find the essence, be the swan that takes the nectar. If you go down in the water, there'll be so much mud at the bottom, and maybe so much mud in the water. In the Ganga, there's so much mud in the water. The Ganga water looks brown because there's always so much mud. Srila Prabhupada also gave that example, and I've practically seen that in more than one place, not so much nowadays, but until India became more modern, but it was a common thing that people would pass stool on the bank of the Ganga and then go and take bath in it. And that's even mentioned at Sanatana Goswami, that he gave an alibi to the jail keeper. Here, just release me and tell this lie. He told him, you release me, which you're not supposed to do, and then when they ask you, you can tell a lie, that I went to pass stool on the bank of the Ganga. And of course now with the modern sewage system, you'll find that all stool comes in the Ganga. But still, I've gone to bathe in the Ganga, and you see pieces of stool floating past you, and there are the people there. They're bathing. They see the value of the Ganga. We still have to bathe in the Ganga, whatever. They don't condemn. They don't say the Ganga is now no longer pure. Ganga's always pure. But at the same time, that doesn't mean you rub all the stool on you. So we have to differentiate between what is there to take, and what is there. There's all the teachings that Srila Prabhupada has given us from the Acharyas, and we find devotees who are following that, and there we are, that's it. It's perfect. Srila Prabhupada often say, this is a perfect process. We may not follow it perfectly, and there may be quite spectacular imperfections. That is inevitable. It's inevitable also there'll be, as the movement grows, there'll be institutionalization with all the wrongs that come with that. But we should, for all that, we should try to keep that simple faith that the early devotees had. Simple, not stupid. Simple can mean stupid. We shouldn't be stupid. But at the same time, keep faith that if we chant Hare Krishna and do what we're supposed to do, what Srila Prabhupada wanted us to do, then we're perfectly situated. We may not be perfect, but we're perfectly situated. And if we stick to it, then we can achieve all perfection. So that's what we're trying to do here. Stick to the basic thing. The basic process. Chant Hare Krishna, distribute books, distribute prasadam, have festivals, make farms. Srila Prabhupada gave a whole blueprint for practicing and spreading Krishna consciousness. There are many different ideas how to do that nowadays, how to spread Krishna consciousness. But I often think that instead of inventing so many new things, why don't we do what Prabhupada gave? If it's not working properly, or we perceive it's not working properly, we'll find what we're doing wrong and do it right. Just like Gurukul was a terrible disaster the way it was done, but that doesn't mean we should stop doing Gurukuls. We do it right. Instead of throwing out the baby with the bathwater, so to speak, let's do it right. In the 1980s, especially, devotees became so much callous to public opinion that they did the book distribution here in America, especially, in such a way that they really, the public, many members of the public, they just didn't like us because of the book distribution techniques were so bad. It was just acting like a criminal, actually. So, but that doesn't mean that we should stop the book distribution. We should do it in a manner that is a manner that people will be satisfied, that they got a book, or even they didn't get a book. Bhrigupati Prabhu was saying, even people don't take a book, but a good impression is left. The main thing is not to leave a good impression, the main thing is to leave a book, but you should leave a good impression also. It's not we leave a good impression and maybe a book also. But we should leave a book and a good impression. The book distribution should be done. We can do this massive book distribution if we have a strong sense of mission. It's a missionary movement. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, just the verse that Adi Kaja Prabhu read this morning. But I order every man within this universe to distribute this love of God. So that's we have a mission to fulfill. That sense of mission really gives us the inspiration to keep on going. That sense of mission is really what has spread Christianity all over the world. You find that people, they'll leave the comfort of America and go off to some place in some unheard of place in some jungle in the middle of nowhere and dedicate their life and learn the language. And in many cases, there are languages in the world that never had, it was never in a written form. But the Christians went there, learned their language, wrote it down. They'd never had it; it'd never been in written form. And they taught everyone how to read and write. So they give them Bibles. They want them to read the Bible, but they don't have any reading or writing in their language. So they went there, learned the language, put it in written form, taught them to read and write, and then gave them Bibles. Many languages in the world, because of that. That sense of mission. And literally, one reason Christianity spread is because literally, from the very beginning with the apostles, they were ready to die. No, they weren't just ready to die, they did die. They had that faith that we should do this, Jesus died, we can die also, if that's what's needed. Of course, we don't want foolish suicides. We want the devotees to go on spreading Krishna consciousness, and that can be misused also. You get these suicide bombers, and it's supposedly for the pleasure of Allah. But we don't need to die. We don't have to put ourselves in such a situation. But actually, the situation for preaching now is it's better than ever, thanks to devotees who have been going on year after year after year. We saw yesterday in Harinam Sankirtan, there are so few people around on the streets, but out of them a good percentage took books. Did you go back to that woman who called out of her apartment and say, "Hey, I want a book"? Oh, you don't see, you didn't see her. Someone called out of the window from about, what, the third floor? You got one of those books? When I went, last time I was here in America, we went out in the shopping area, and twice people stopped in their cars and asked, "Have you got books? What are those books?" Yeah. So that's such a favorable situation. I don't remember in the 1970s distributing in Britain, hardly anyone was interested in the books. It was George Harrison sold the books mostly. All glories to George Harrison. Prabhupada said that. We just opened the book and showed George Harrison. You've heard of George Harrison, haven't you? In those days, everyone would say yes. Now, if you say nowadays, many people wouldn't have heard of them. This morning also, when we were just going out for our photo, and people were waving from their cars. They know what we are, probably. But they can see it's something happy. Hey, it's great. I wonder if they were looking also and seeing our rainbow coalition. Because they're mostly blacks going here. We're talking about we have all different colors here except yellow. We need yellow. But we have black and white and everything in between. So I think they might appreciate that. They might appreciate it. Mostly here in Atlanta, it seems to be like 70% blacks, right? Is it that much? I don't know. You see them mostly. And yeah. And they're very happy with us. When we went to that Juneteenth festival, they're all being... they put the hippies to shame. They're all so funky and far out. But for them, it just seems to be natural for them. They're not trying, it's just natural for them. But they loved us, right? They really loved it. We were in one tent, they're doing their drumming, and they didn't say, "Hey, get out of here." They joined with us. They loved it. It's really good. And they're eating meat, and there's a guy, half of them are drunk, and this. But there still is a very, very good scope for preaching Krishna consciousness. It's better than ever. And the more books we distribute, the better it gets. It's really time to take advantage of that. How we can bring people in. What's the best program to bring people in? I always thought that the best program is this, the same old program. Same old program. It's the Sakah. What is that? It's Sanatan Dharma. It's the same old program, Chant Hare Krishna. And people will come. When I came here this time, every day I was telling you, you have to do daily Harinam. No, no, we don't have enough men. Go and go have daily Harinam. I'm sure, because it's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's program, you go out daily on Harinam, people will come and join. And we found that. That's another thing from England in the 1970s. That thanks to our previous GBC, who wasn't a GBC when I joined, and the present GBC at that time, the devotees were distributing records because there was a big, big financial problem. The manor had been mortgaged. When I first went there to Bhaktivedanta Manor, it was snowing outside, and no one, there was not heating inside because they couldn't afford it. And then the deities, their garlands would be one flower and two leaves, which they got from the garden. And when the arati lamp came around, that was your sense gratification for the warming. You could put your hand on the. It was so cold, and the offerings for the deities in the morning, they'd have semolina. What do you call that? Farina, which the Indian people come and donate sacks of farina and sugar, and we had cows giving milk, and that was the breakfast every morning. And you'd line up, and there was, you get this much Mahaprasadam. It's just, but that was the number two item for sense gratification. So it was really austere, and the devotees were going out selling records. And the first ever Sankirtan meeting I went to, it was like a rebellion going on. We want to distribute books. No, we have to distribute, GBC said, I have to distribute records. And then one of the record distributors agreed with the GBC, said, no, you can't distribute books in England, the people are too demoniac. But shortly after that, it changed when we got a new GBC. But what happened, I joined by reading a Krishna book, which I got in Ireland. I didn't buy it. Someone else bought it. I read it. So I thought, okay, let me check it out. And there was no center in Ireland at the time. So I went to England to visit that center, which was the manor, and then I stayed. So, and then I was told that I was the first who had joined in about 6 months. There'd been an initiation a few months before, I think yourself, Kripa Moy, and a few others, a few months earlier, and no one was joining. And a few days after that, David Russell joined, Satyavak. And then we went and booked his, and then again people started joining, not even directly from the books, but just Krishna sent them. That's what I see. You remember that, Adhikara Prabhu? People, when we started doing books, people started, Krishna sent people. People started joining. And many times, like I say, it wasn't even directly from, it wasn't necessarily that they got a book, but it was also the energy created that when the devotees are blissful, distributing books, they're happy, and then people, they see that, they want to join it, they want to be part of it. Because it is miserable out there, and people really feel it, and that's one reason why they take books from you. That's a major reason, is just they can feel, you've got some energy which they want. They're impressed by that. So we have many programs to bring people to Krishna consciousness, but this is our mission, to assist Srila Prabhupada in saving mankind in his darkest hour. And the method that Srila Prabhupada, he gave many programs, but he especially recommended this distribution of books. Krishne Swadhama Pagate Dharma Gyana Adibisa Kalo Nashta Drishamesha Puranako Dunoditaha. The Srimad Bhagavatam is like the sun which has arisen in the darkness of Kali Yuga. And it's really dark. It's really, really dark. And it's getting worse and worse, but the Bhagavatam is light. This people in this dense darkness of Kali Yuga, people will get light from this Bhagavad Purana. So this is the best program to bring people to Krishna consciousness. That's what we want to bring people into. We're not going out and increasing numbers. It's not like, we shouldn't think of ourselves something like, we just want to increase the numbers. It's something like Christianity. We just want to bring in as many people as possible. it's not exactly the same as, we're not in competition with others. It's not that we're just trying to show how many people we can bring in, but really each individual soul is precious. So increasing our numbers, that isn't our main goal. The main goal in book distribution, yes, increase the numbers, but it's also educating the whole of society that people can understand, people in general can understand the goal of life. It's for the mass and for the class that even not everyone will take to Krishna consciousness immediately. It may be in a future life they'll take to it. And it may be many who are taking to Krishna consciousness now, they got a book in their previous life, or they attended a festival, Rathayatra festival or something. There's something which they can pick up on from a previous life. So preaching is the essence. That's a fact. Preaching is the essence, but preaching what? We can increase numbers, bring people in by doing personality development. What's it called? Personality development. Is that what they call it? Life coaching, motivational speaking, yoga, and all that. But bringing people in by that, it's not going to give them the sense of mission that, yeah, we got to go out and get more people to do yoga exercises. Oh, Krishna, I'm praying, please help me to teach more people how to do yoga exercises. It's not so inspiring. It's not anywhere near as inspiring. And if we talked from the beginning to people about, yeah, how you can adjust your personality so that you can get on better in this world and adjust to this world. But our whole outlook is completely different. We say from the beginning that we're not here to adjust to this world, we're here to get out of this world. We don't belong in this world. There's a spiritual world. That's where we're aiming at. We have to live in this world, but we live in this world in a way that, first of all, understanding we don't belong here. We belong to Krishna in the spiritual world. So that's our mission. It's the back to Godhead movement. Even bringing devotees in, bringing people in, but we got to bring them up also. And it's not, of course, Srila Prabhupada often said you can just add Krishna to your life. Whatever you're doing, just add Krishna. But that's a very beginning. The real thing is to make Krishna our life. It's not just that we get on with what we're doing and chant Hare Krishna sometimes. But what we really want to see is that people, they make Krishna consciousness not just part of their life, but it is their life, and everything is adjusted around that. Not that just we throw in a little Krishna consciousness here and there. We've been talking a bit about the 1970s. In the 1970s, looking back, we say about the book distribution fever. We were really fired up. There was a lot of fire in there. Now we grew older, the fire went down a bit. We have to stoke it up again. Prabhupada stoked up the fire of competition. Maybe in the 1970s we emphasized preaching to the neglect of our own personal cultivation of Krishna consciousness. And there came a point where devotees started to think that, hey, maybe we need to do some internal work also, and we have to see about our chanting, japa, And then the courses were introduced, Bhakti Shastra courses, all this kind of thing, which is great. And nowadays we have japa retreats and Harinam Kirtan Melas and Sadhu Sangha retreats. Okay, that's good, but we shouldn't go around the other way, that it's all about our own personal cultivation. Both things have to be there. We are, after all, a Goshtiananda movement, so it's good to have all these things, but the sense of mission has to be there. There's a lot of preaching about, japa seminar, how to improve your japa and this and that, but we also need a lot of preaching about how this Krishna conscious movement is meant to change the world. We have a mission. That sense of mission often seems to be lacking, or devotees don't even know that we're not joining this not just for personal improvement or feel happy, feel peaceful, add it to your career. But we're here, we have a mission, we have to dedicate to save the world in its darkest hour. And understand that we're not here to become part of a civilization and blend into a civilization. It's not going to hell, it's almost literally hell, what they've made the world today. And so many people are really living in a hellish condition. You may say, no, America looks nice. Well, of course, there are so many homeless people. But even people who are living in nice houses and have so-called nice cars and this and that, they're also in hellish suffering. There's just sadā samudvigna, asadgrahat, because they've accepted a wrong aim of life. They're suffering so much, and you can see that when you go out and distribute books. People are suffering so much. Unfortunately, a lot of the people who are suffering the most are the most puffed up also. And they won't open themselves up. They've got an armor on them, thick armor of egoism, and they won't let anyone into their personality. Their personality is closed up, so they'll say, yes sir, no sir, very good sir, and all these kind of things. But they're really closed up, and all they can think of is how to get ahead in their life, and they're full of anxiety, and really, really, really suffering. You'll find that more in New York, I guess, when you were there. Yeah. Well, I'm also, I need my pills. A lot of people take these, lot of people on prescription pills, just to, without them, they're depressed. Or, really, it's huge. They can't make it through the day without taking pills. I can't make it through the night, is more likely. That's another kind of suffering. UTI. I saw on a billboard yesterday downtown. UTI means urinary tract infection. I don't think I heard of it till I got it. But then I saw on a billboard downtown, if you're suffering from repeated UTIs, it seems to be a common thing. And it really is unpleasant and debilitating. And if you think you're the body and you only have one life to enjoy, it must be really, really tough. You don't understand it's some karma that you have to face, and everyone has to go through this kind of thing. I'll tell you another. I told this before. I asked one of my disciples in India. He was previously in the army, and he was in Operation Blue Star, which maybe the Indians have heard of that. That was when the Indian army went in and devastated the most holy place in the Sikh religion, the Golden Temple in Amritsar. But they had to do that because all the Sikh terrorists, and get killed for saying that, militants, They were holed up inside, and you couldn't do anything because when they go inside, and then you can't get them, and they had tunnels underneath and everything. So one time they decide, it's a whole history, how they decided, look, they just run inside there and then we can't do them. Okay, let's go get them. So they went in and razed the place to the ground and killed them. One army general, he said to Indira Gandhi, look, don't ask me any questions. Just let me do what I have to do and I'll solve this problem. So he just went in and killed them all. One of my disciples, he'd been in that. So it means you saw so much killing and of your own men and the other party and everything. But he seemed quite normal. Like he didn't seem. I've seen also. I used to visit ex-Yugoslavia. I still do. And especially in, when was that? It must have been around the turn of the century. We'd meet people who were just like ghostly haunted because they'd been in military situation. One of them joined us, a young man, and he was just traumatized. He couldn't act normally because he'd been in military units who just went in a village and killed everyone. And he'd done that, and there were so many people traumatized. But I asked this disciple of mine, how is it we see in India that in the West we see people get really traumatized by seeing and doing so many bad things, whereas here we find military people, and then they've been in situations like that, and even some of them, they're injured, they lost their hand or something. They just go on. He said it's a different approach to life. It's a different understanding of life. When it's not that most Indian people are very philosophical. I wish they were. I wish they'd take it more seriously that we have birth after birth after birth. But they do have that underlying understanding that we're here, we're put in this situation. We're in a situation that we deserve to be in, and whatever happens, there's God is there. They don't have a very clear idea of who God is, and you just got to get on with life. So he put it down to a different attitude, a whole completely different attitude to life. But for lack of any spiritual knowledge, people are really suffering. What is the root cause of all suffering is ignorance. And that's Prabhupada said, that's why we're distributing the books. Because for distributing knowledge, for giving knowledge. People don't know. Loka, that also, who quoted that? Mukunda, I believe, quoted that. Loka sya janato vidvans chakre sattvata sanghitam anato pashamang sakshad Bhakti Yoga Madhok Sajay. Lokasya Janato. No, it was. Who is quoting it? I was listening to Bhagavad Saptaha by a disciple of Radha Govindamar. I'm listening every morning. We don't even know who said it because his name doesn't come. It's in Hindi. Huh? I think it was him. I think it must be. But his name is not given. Unfortunately, he passed away shortly after taking sannyas. Really, very good exposition. But he was quoting that verse. People don't know, but vidvan, lokasya, of the people, or to lokasya, who don't know, but Vyasadeva, he knows. He's vidvan. He knows. And therefore, chakra, he made Sattvasa Sanghitam, he made the Bhagavatam. People don't know that they're suffering. All their problems are caused because they don't do bhakti yoga. They don't know the value of worshipping Krishna. Bhakti yogam adhokshaje. Adhokshaje establishes Krishna as a transcendental reality. They don't know. So Vyasadeva compiled this. And that is our mission, to give knowledge of this, not knowledge of how to live in this world in a happy way, because there is no happy way. Yes, that's also there. That's an essential corollary of our preaching, is to establish communities in which we can live simply and chant Hare Krishna, but not to mrityu sangsara vartmani, not to throw them back into the ocean of birth and death. So that is our mission, to distribute this knowledge and bring people in and make a society in which people can live in Krishna consciousness, a completely different understanding of the purpose of life. And we should be able to just demonstrate this. We have to preach and tell people that this world is really off. And actually, it's very easy to do that nowadays. Practically everyone will agree that the whole society is a complete mess. Even if somehow or other you can stop these demons polluting the world and put the environment in order, but who are the demons? We're all of us, right? We're all doing. Even these environmentalists, they're talking about, what is it? They're talking about renewable energy. They still want to go on, they want to have all the facilities of modern life without the pollution, which is impossible. Solar power, yeah, and then you've got to cover all the... Solar power means so much pollution to make all those solar panels. And then what happens? They're not going to last forever. Then you're going to have thousands of acres of garbage, right? And to transport the electricity, you need copper. We've got to dig it up from the... Mukunda just 2 days ago told me that there's not a single aquifer in the whole of North America that is not polluted. Not talking about the rivers and the lakes. You're talking about the underground water channels. They've all got heavy metals and everything. There's nothing. Nothing which is not polluted. So that's the situation. So even if you could somehow or other change the mass pollution, but still that demoniac tendency is there. The reason it's going on is because people want to enjoy and they want to exploit, right? What was the cause of the war in Iraq? Because that Saddam Hussein had oil, right? And they went into Syria to, because of the dictator, they went to get his oil. Right? What's that? I don't understand sign language.
Oh, no, I'm a historian. I'm sorry.
You're a historian?
Yes, he invaded Kuwait.
Yeah. Syria. Syria came later. Kuwait tricking Saddam Hussein. And then they went into Iraq with weapons of mass destruction, not to remove the weapons. And the same thing, Syria. And they went into humanitarian reasons to give democracy. They never seemed to be that much concerned about democracy in Saudi Arabia. So that's why I say Hitler was better. At least he was honest. We're a bunch of jerks. We're coming to come take over your land. Anyway, I don't want to get into that. But even if you could adjust this and that, but it's the demoniac mentality. Even the Ukraine war, who's benefiting? It's the Lockheed and all these weapons manufacturing companies and the oil companies, because they don't want Russian gas to go into Europe. They want to sell the American fracked oil and this and that. So it's demons. They're demons, actually. But even if this idea, you make society better, you adjust this, you adjust that, everything will be all right. But our outlook, or Krishna's outlook, is that this world is miserable by its very nature. Don't try and adjust to this world. Live in it as much as you have to, but we have to get out. Yadgatvana Nivartante, get out of this world and don't come back. Go to Krishna's world. That's what we should preach. Don't have hopes of living happily in this world. It's Krishna consciousness is the solution to all the problems. That's why people don't know. Anartho pashamang sakshat bhakti yogamad hoksaje lokasya janato vidvang chakre sadvita sanghita. But we should be preaching. We should have been preaching. Everyone else is preaching it now. But we're not preaching it. The whole society is a big mess. Everyone knows it, but we have the solution also for everything. We have the solution for all the problems, because the root cause of all problems is ignorance. Ignorance of our relationship with Krishna. It's a completely different approach to life. Krishna consciousness is life. Without this, we're all zombies. We're living dead. And you can see that people come to life when they come to Krishna consciousness. This is real life. The weekend in America is the time when you can stay up all night and then you sleep as much as you can. But our program is sleep as little as you can. Get up early every morning. That I've said this many times. What really convinced me about the devotees is that getting up early, getting up so early in the morning, no one can dream of. Getting up so early in the morning, and it was freezing cold, and they had cold showers, and they were cold. And no question of not doing it. And then you go to the temple, and you're in this freezing cold. Early in the morning, you're dancing for God. Singing and dancing for God. And do this every day. It's not one day, 2 days, every single day. These people are real. So we should get that, right? Mangalarti, 4:30, back again tomorrow. We did it at 5 o'clock here because devotees have to come from their hotels and this and that. Maybe back to 4:30, but that's a great program. Early in the morning. Not that we sleep as long as we can in the morning, but we get up as early as we can and chant. What is that? Vibhavari Shesha Aloka Pravesh. Bolo Hari Hari Mukunda Murari Ramakrishna Hayagriva. Nidrachari, Nidrachari Uto Jiva. Now the night is coming to an end. The light is coming in. Actually, that song's for a little later. So give up sleep and chant the holy names of Krishna. I told so many things. One time I was in a village in Bangladesh and then it had been a late night program as is usual. So it was still dark early in the morning. I heard a mic a little distance. First of all, you know when they go like this, they hear the mic, it goes toot, 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 and then he's blowing in the mic, and then he said, Uto, Uto Shobai. I'll say it in English. He said, get up, everyone. Better than sleeping is praying. He was calling for namaz, for the Muslim prayer. It was good. And they do it every morning. Some people, some of them do. I see in Muslim countries, when in Dubai, I regularly go early, out early in the morning for a japa walk and you see people coming out of the mosque. Not that many, but some they still do. That's good. Different approach to life. Get up early, chant Hare Krishna. Vichitravirya, he had a motto. He was temple president in the central London temple. Then he became in Bhaktivedanta Manor. So his motto for the brahmacharis was eat less, sleep more, sleep less, distribute more books. Or I put in that brahmachari book, that long hours, hard work, no pay, bliss. That's our program. No one can imagine. Unemployed. We'll give you a job. What are the hours? 3:30 in the morning till 9:30, 10:30 at night. Get a holiday? No. How many days a week? 7 days a week. How many weeks holiday? None. Well, what's the pay? None. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asking for the payment of love of God. So it's hard work, yeah, hard work. Prabhupada, he worked hard, right? This Krishna consciousness movement didn't come about by Prabhupada sitting around. He worked so hard, and he liked devotees that worked hard. He appreciated that Americans are people with a mission, they have a sense of purpose, hard working. You're also mentioning that to me, that Vishuchitta, the Americans still. Yeah. If they get into something, they'll work hard. So it requires a lot of hard work. All this book distribution, even to produce the books, everything. It's a lot of hard work. Kriyasu, that Bhrigupati Prabhu he chose to speak on that verse, working hard for Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, at one time, he mentioned his writing of books. He said, writing by hard labor. He used that term. Getting up in the night. He said, I'm writing these books with my hard labor. So Prabhupada worked hard. And he liked devotees who would work hard for Krishna. He really appreciated that. And he blessed them with that. At the same time, we have to remember who's doing all this. Who's the biggest book distributor in this movement? That's right, yeah. I just got an email from a devotee, said, which devotee inspired you most in your early days in ISKCON? So I didn't have to think. The answer, two words, Srila Prabhupada. Still the most inspiring. Advaita Acharya, he called Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He just accepted sannyas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He invited him to take prasad. He hadn't eaten for 3 days. He didn't even know it was 3 days because he'd lost all track of time and place and everything. And so the cooking was done. Advaita Acharya's wife cooked, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw all the offering. He said, oh, who has cooked so many nice items? And Advaita Acharya said, he who will now eat is he who has cooked. Everything was done by Krishna. So it's the same thing. He who wrote the books also distributes them. He does it. Krishna, what is that? Krishna Vana Tushar Krishnam Sango Pangastra Parshadam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes with all his associates. So Srila Prabhupada, all his assistants. Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is spreading love of God. But he does so with all his assistants. So in the same way, Srila Prabhupada, he's engaging us in assisting him, who is assisting his guru, who's assisting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in distributing this love of God. As much as we think I am distributing books, that much we are doing it. I am the doer. And that much, when as much as we think like that, that much we're not doing devotional service. As long as we see ourselves as an instrument that I'm not doing, then we're doing devotional service. And then we can do huge by becoming an instrument. Because who can distribute? Mahotsa, he can't distribute any books. He never distributed a book in his life. But you can become an instrument of he who's got the power to do so, who's empowered by Krishna. And then, yeah, he looks at me. I can't do it. I can't distribute books. But if we become an instrument, then we can do so much by becoming an instrument. As soon as we think, with all book distributors have this realization. It comes quickly. As soon as we think we're the doer, we can't do anything. So that will be the success of this festival, if devotees are inspired to go out and not distribute any books. And there'll be huge scores. And no one will distribute any books, only Prabhupada will distribute the books. Still, Prabhupada liked to see that Sankirtan newsletter. Who's doing the most? He appreciated. Who's becoming the best servant? Hare Krishna. One of Guru Kripa's lines for his Srila Prabhupada, he wanted to build those temples in India. He needed lots of money. So Guru Kripa went in once to Prabhupada and said, "Don't worry, Prabhupada, I'll do it. I'll get it for you." Because he saw that Prabhupada was saying, "Where are we going to get so much money?" And Guru Kripa didn't have a clue how he was going to do it. But he thought, he went out and then Prabhupada blessed him. "Yeah, okay, you bring." He didn't know how he was going to do it. He said, "What have I done? I just promised to Prabhupada I'll bring the..." Then he came up with a plan, and he stole some of the best collectors and had them out in Japan collecting lots of money and sending it all to Prabhupada for building those temples. Huge amounts of money. It wasn't always above board the way they did it. But one of his mottos, he would tell them, "Don't moan, don't groan, just go out and pick the bone." Pick the bone is gross, but you get the idea. Just so he did great service. Prabhupada was very pleased with that. Now we're distributing so many books in India. One major reason is because we have those prestigious temples that really established our movement. ISKCON, it's a household word. You see in the newspapers something news. ISKCON, I saw maybe a year ago, wall of ISKCON temple falls down and fell on someone's house and killed someone. So, and that wasn't very good news, but it's ISKCON. In Bangladesh, the Hindus there got so much inspiration from Mayapur. Even they hadn't been there. But I'm talking about when I first went there. It was the 1970s. And they all knew about Mayapur. Big temple is coming up, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birthplace. So, by Guru Kripa's collection, those temples came up. Prabhupada was pushing. He didn't have money, he didn't have men to run the temples, but he had a vision: we have to have these temples. We have to that will establish our movement in India, and it really did. And it's really well established now. That's the point I'm making. And because of that, people buy books. Devotees told me in Maharashtra, that's a major state in India, Bombay is the capital. So in Maharashtra, wherever they go, pretty much everyone already has Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. Yeah, they've sold millions in Marathi language, but he said they still buy it. When the devotees come, they buy another one, out of respect for the devotees. The devotees came here, and they came here with the effort to sell the books, and they just take another one, because you came to me with these books, I already have it, but I'll take it just because you came to me. Then there are so many anecdotes. Bhima Prabhu, BBT Bombay. He's not officially there now, but he's still influential there. So one of the biggest business families in India, Ambanis, they wanted to print a large-sized, gold-plated, like really expensive edition of Gita to give all their friends. So Bhima asked them, why this edition? There are so many editions of Gita. And the reply came is just like, it's a strange question. Well, when you think of Gita, you think of ISKCON's Gita.
That's right. Jai.
That's what it is now. I can tell, there are so many things I can say. I first came to India for preaching in the 1970s. There was a thick wall of Mayavad, which if you even try to say to anyone that God is a person, is Krishna. No, it's all one. You don't know. I'm a born Hindu. You don't know all that. But nowadays, you can go anywhere. You go in schools, colleges, anywhere, and talk about this. People accept it. It's because we've distributed so many of Prabhupada's books. And it's a great field for set distribution. Have you seen what Samba's doing? Did you get the news? Yeah, he's you better watch out for him. He's doing it in Gujarat. Actually, he was in Andhra distributing so many sets. But he's just cleaning up the easy field now because there's been a lot of preaching in the area he was in, but no one had really pushed the Bhagavatam set. So he's been pushing it there. Then he went to Baroda for Rath Yatra. I don't know why he went all the way to Baroda. Anyway, and the other side of the country for Rath Yatra. And then while he was there, he went around and he's just cleaning up, distributing sets. Lots of sets. But it's really, if you do it in India, that's one thing. And often devotees in the West think, well, in India it's easy to distribute books. Well, yeah, but it's not just like you walk out and people all fall at your feet. You have to go out and do it, and devotees work long hours and they have to travel and often in very rough conditions and heat and everything, and it's not just a cakewalk, but still, the field has become much better by book distribution. Also, the more you do it, the better it becomes. So similarly, you're doing books in America also, but that's really to a tremendous. Well, that's another thing which is coming up in India, which wasn't there before. Selling sets, we weren't doing it before. We'd sell Gitas mostly. But now that's coming up. You meet someone who's favorable, sell them a set of books. And I mean, devotees are doing that. You find someone who's a little bright, sell them a set on the spot. Do you know who really got this going in Tamil Nadu was Acharya Prabhu, who's from Holland. He doesn't speak any local Indian language, and his English is double Dutch. You know, we have that saying in English, double Dutch. It means he speaks with such a thick Dutch accent that even English people can't understand him, what to speak of Indian people. And he was going out to a place in Tamil Nadu where people had never heard of ISKCON, small towns. They'd never heard of Bhagavatam, and he was selling Bhagavatam sets to people unknown, just like that. And then it picked up, and then we thought, well, if he can do it, and he can't even, we can't even understand what he's saying. Somehow he's, there's another Russian devotee who's he's a huge book distributor. He's one of my disciples. Vitanka. Amayama speaks a little English, but he only speaks Russian. He's huge on book distribution in India. So it really works on divine potency. So, yeah, it's going on now that we're finding people little enthusiastic. Yeah, give them sets of books. That's gonna this distributing sets. Just like I say, by distributing in India, we've distributed how many millions of Prabhupada's Gitas, literally. And it's made its effect. And then what's going to happen when we distribute so many Bhagavatam sets? What's going to happen? this one devotee in Salem. What's his name? Gopal. What is Sundar? Jagan Mohan Gopal. So he's wild. He's on fire for distributing sets. So he sold on the phone to his cousin sisters, two cousin sisters, and they both took Bhagavatam sets because he's their brother. And he started reading them. And their life changed. And they sold all their jewelry and for giving to Salem Temple, for building temple. No one asked them to. So this is really going to this is going to be a game changer, as they say. Distribute sets of books. Okay, I've waffled on for long enough. So chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Have a kirtan. I have to leave you all for a few minutes. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.